Szvámit, Magyarország és a Tudatai Hívő Közösségének vezető lelkészét tartom köszöntő beszédét.
Say that these Hunas are residents of Central Europe. And I always thought, is this Central Europe mean the Hungarians? The word Hun is there already. Andra means actually in Andra. That's in India. But he talks about others as well. He mentions Greeks. So 5,000 years ago, by our calculation, 5,000 years ago, the sages of India were already aware of the existence of the Hungarians and of their propensity to be and ability to be engaged in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Our culture, this is our cultural educational institution, is what we call a Vedic culture. Not just we ourselves, but it's a common terminology that's accepted. And interestingly enough, the Vedic culture is recorded in the Vedic literature, which are the, and Veda itself means knowledge. So the whole wealth of Indian historical, theological, philosophical, in fact, all aspects of life, knowledge is recorded in the Vedas, originally of hundreds of thousands of volumes. Now many of those are no longer available. So the concept of culture and knowledge are very closely interlinked. And the interesting thing is that both culture and knowledge also are directional, or they're purposeful. They have a specific purpose. And just in very brief words, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, what is the purpose of this culture and what is the purpose of knowledge in general? He says, He says, I'm the purpose. To know me is the purpose of Vedas. And this concept of having Krishna as the goal, having God as the goal of all cultural and knowledge, is what we call Krishna consciousness, that type of awareness. Krishna consciousness is more or less a modern term that our founders, the Divine Grace Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, this picture that you see there, gave the traditional Vaishnav faith. And Vaishnavism is not new to Hinduism, it's not new to the Vedic teachings. Indeed, in Rig Veda Samhita, Krishna, Radha, the original spiritual world are all mentioned as being the destination of those souls who are actually seeking after the Absolute Truth. In the Atharva Veda, or a part of the Atharva Veda, Gopal Tatani Upanishad is probably one of the most explicit and very lengthy dissertations on Vaishnavism and Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not something new, and even if we can argue whether this is 1500 years old or 5000 years old, but in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna even goes back even further. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts by saying, Imam Vilashvate Yogam. And he not only talks about this planet on what we're on, he said, this Vaishnavism, this goes back actually to a very, very ancient time. He says, because I previously spoke the same teaching on the sun planet. I don't want to get into a very controversial topic here about how you live on the sun planet, but at least for the basic philosophical, theological understanding of the soul, which can't be burnt, bodies can't, but the soul can. Therefore, Krishna is tracing that back, which according to the dating of Vedic literature, and this is something that His Excellency is very expert on and much proponent about, the dimensions of the Vedic science, that goes back 200 million years. So it's Vaishnavism is not new. But in terms of our more modern day, we see that great acharyas or spiritual teachers, and particularly in our line, which is the line of Madhava Acharya, have brought the principles of Vaishnavism throughout and spread it throughout India. And probably the most important historical turning point in terms of Vaishnavism was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who again, according to our theological conviction as well as scriptures, like Mahabharata, Upanishads, Puranas, and so on, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, is an incarnation of Krishna. And his particular contribution was to make the extremely rich and sometimes complex philosophy of Vaishnavism into a very simplified form, which can be easily realized and experienced by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And there begins the Hare Krishnas. From that time, this chanting of Krishna's holy name, which was generally done in seclusion by very exalted persons as a very type of personal experience, was taken out on the street. It was taken out into public places. Lord Chaitanya traveled throughout India at that time. He spent 2 years throughout all of South India, went all the way around from Puri to Pandharpur, and then he traveled back all the way to Vrindavan and met, converted, discussed with great philosophers of the time. And as most religious teachers claim or give the history, converted many to the cause of Vaishnavism. And Lord Chaitanya also introduced a very new aspect to the culture of Krishna consciousness, and that is that this knowledge shouldn't just be practiced, particularly in India, but it should go all around the world. And so he said in Bengali, Prithipiti Achyatra Nagarayati Gram, Sarvatra Prachari Hoibimurana. That in every town and village, Prithi, of this whole world, this chanting of the Hare Krishna should go on. And this was 500 years ago. In 1965, our spiritual master, with the order of his spiritual master, and now we're really coming into modern history, he came first to New York, and in a period of 12 years, traveled the globe 13 times, established temples, restaurants, farming communities like our Krishna Valley farming community, with the idea of presenting the way of life that the Vedas present, because ultimately culture means more than just philosophy and more than just knowledge. Krishna says jnana vijnanam, the practical application of knowledge, vijnana, is where culture comes in, where culture or philosophy becomes an everyday aspect of one's life. Not expressed solely in terms of drama or art or dance or music, but in every aspect of life. And here we are, after 20 years of Krishna consciousness in Hungary, or coming on to 25 years, a officially recognized institution, theological college, the purpose of which is to present that same culture, that same knowledge, which has been coming down for millennia through realized teachers as well as through sacred literature, for the purpose of actually here in Hungary enlightening and giving the opportunity of those here who want to actually really enrich their lives. And a particular feature of our cultural center, or theological center, is particularly to present the culture which has of great relevance to something more than just the external aspect of the world that we live in, and actually even our own external natures, which is our bodies. That this culture is mainly meant to actually teach the essence of who we are. It's a culture for the soul. We see so often in our world that we live in, people are fighting, killing, disagreeing each other on the basis of their religion, their color, their race, their sex. But actually all of these are externals. Within, we're all equally spiritual entities, same sons of the same one God, although we may call him by different names. And the purpose of knowledge and the purpose of culture is to actually enable us to live and to realize our spiritual identity. And the contribution of this theological college is just that. It's not just a religious, it's not meant to present some other type of religion. It's, as His Excellency very much likes to say, to present the science of the soul and the culture that accompanies the science of the soul. Once again, I want to very much thank both the governments of India and Hungary for this very revolutionary contribution. I say it's very revolutionary because it's opening a field that's quite rare, that is, that governments are willing to stand actually behind religions in order to give their contribution to society. And a religion that, in one sense, is relatively new to this country, although it's certainly not new to the world. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.